three of Wilde and Tausch. I just want to be clear. I love Homer. I'm not generally inclined to go to him for my medical information. But what he said about the vaccine and that you're still not free to do whatever you want after you get vaccinated, I'm going to have to do further information searching on that, but I was really starting to have some optimism. Now it was kind of a blow to my optimism there of normalcy returning.
Hey, do you think wearing a mask year-round might limit more stuff, though?
Like, so you're saying just wear it...
Cold and flus are way down on the statistical piece. So I just wonder if, you know, maybe it's just going to be something even when this is all done, whenever that's going to be.
Good question.
Maybe more people are going to just wear masks all the time.
Well, but if you think about it, like the flu, and I know I'm not trying to equate COVID and the flu, but like the flu, you have your flu shots you get every year, but people still get the flu, but we don't worry.
True.
We don't worry about wearing masks and like not going around people to avoid spreading the
Maybe
flu.
Maybe we should.
Yeah, I just am starting to wonder if this isn't going to be, I don't want to say mandated. I am curious what's going to happen moving forward. I think there's a lot of questions.
I was in a grocery store yesterday, saw several fellows who just weren't wearing masks at all, so maybe they feel like they are, they weren't 66, so I don't think they had the vaccine. I will say this, I have done a much better job, and I wonder if this will continue, of like washing your hands. Like, are we creating habits that we will get less sick less often because of this, or will we all just throw caution to the wind once we're told we can return to normalcy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. So you always unearth these little nuggets because you don't click on links, but you do check out Twitter from time to time. And you had an interesting nugget that you shared with us about, I love having Sarah Tauscher as our secondary producer. She's sending us information on how many cases of the actual flu there have been this flu season. She's on top of things. So what is this information that you unearthed about the contributions of draft classes?
Tell me more. I don't remember unearthing it, but it's a nugget. I think, in essence, so here is where Packer fans are at, in my opinion. The ones that are looking at this and saying, you know, draft and develop. And I think the biggest criticism of Ted Thompson was not going out and, you know, I guess going all in, if that's how you want to phrase it. If you want to look at this year's Packers team in comparison to the team that is representing the NFC in the championship, and hopefully Jesse's got this
info. The Tampa Bay
Gronkineers. I hope Jesse has the info because I don't have it in front of me. I sent it to you guys because that's what I do. If you look at for everybody that always says, if you're counting on first and second round picks to contribute onto your Super Bowl team, you're not a team ready to go. And I certainly will say that if they're going to be your main cogs, I agree. But you're telling me you can't find big-time players that can help you win now? Green Bay didn't do that. And for as much as you want to say A.J. Dillon, A.J. Dillon was a bit player this year.
He was.
Very big.
And he will be something more.
Yes.
When they don't re-sign one or both of their running backs.
Correct.
But the nugget that you shared was from Brad Spielberger of Pro Football Focus.
Speely.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers got the most snaps from their rookie class in the entire NFL.
Huh.
Including their starting right tackle, who was their first round
Really good football player.
Wow.
The secondary dude, the guy that didn't play against Green Bay.
Winfield
the third.
Yes, yep. Correct.
Tyler
and
Johnson.
Not only did they play
receiver.
A lot of snaps, but they played well. The Packers, there are 32 teams in the NFL.
That's what I was told, yep.
The Packers got the 29th most snaps from
their
rookie class.
It was their special teams production. Same on the
so
same
there were
special teams.
three teams that got less from their rookie class this season than the Packers did.
You think Jordan Love would have been good on special teams this year?
Well, if I recall correctly, Brett Favre actually went on the radio at one point and suggested they should use Jordan Love the way Taysom Hill was used in New Orleans. That did not come to fruition either.
Maybe Favre was onto something.
Maybe. It would have certainly improved. Maybe they'd have finished 27th.
Yeah, that's what you always want to do. Maybe you always want to take the football out of your best player's hands for a bunch of the game. Yeah.
I tell you what, maybe Aaron Rodgers catches that two-point conversion instead of EQ, huh?
No, but T. Higgins might.
Huh?
All right, so your point is that you can have rookies that contribute right away and that you're not drafting them necessarily for that first year. Contributions, but if you can get contributions, they can make a really big difference, which we've seen. There was a wily old right tackle veteran. He'd been through the wars, the battles in the trenches, and he got hurt for a Super Bowl contender, and the first round pick came in and played right tackle really well. His name was Brian Bulaga, and he replaced one Mark Tauscher during the 2010 season when Tausch got hurt.
Yeah, I think the argument here is, and this is what I think for a lot of us that looked at the Jordan Love pick back in April, and it was a big moment in this Packers season. A lot of it was positive. I think, you know, what TJ Lang was saying, a lot of us are saying, yeah, it wasn't the main motivation for Aaron Rodgers, but I do think it made him think things through, and I do think it helped his mentality after he came to grips with that. And it helped spur him on to have that MVP season. But you can't just say, well, we're always looking to the future. You need to have some players produce out of your draft classes. The way salary cap is set, it can't just be we're looking at 3 and 4 years down the road. Now, you're hoping that these guys develop into your stud core players. And, you know, DeGuara is somebody I think is going to pop next year and come back. He's going to be somebody I think this team utilizes in a lot of fun ways. He was not available. I do think he would have seen some snaps and been integral, a bigger piece. Otherwise, this draft class, it didn't do a ton for this year's team. And you could say, well, I don't need that this year. You need production. It can't be, well, we're just going to redshirt. As Mike Sherman used to always tell, he told Chad Clifton this, there ain't no red shirts in this league. Well, there is if you're Jordan Love, but if you're not a quarterback, there isn't red shirts. And when you're redshirting a bunch of guys, you're wasting that year's opportunity. And when your quarterback's 37, not saying the season was wasted by any stretch because it wasn't, but to not have production out of your first three picks in a draft, that hurts your team because those guys are going to be on your roster and they are counted on to contribute, whether it's in special teams or something. You're not getting anything from special teams contributions out of those three. You're not getting any production. That's how you end up with 29th. And if you don't think Tampa needed Wirfs and they needed Winfield, these guys produced at a high level, and that's a big reason why they're able to advance.
Like Clay Matthews and B.J. Raji did in 2009 when they were first-round picks, and a bunch of others have over the years. I agree that the draft is not designed just for immediate help, but if you can get immediate help, it can make an immediate difference, and this draft did not do that for the Packers. That doesn't mean that they're all busts by any means. But they could have used more help than they got this season. We need to play Wilde and Tausch trivia. Caller 4 right now, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 4. Jesse, what's the category today?
I forgot what the category was today. Oh, yeah.
It's your category.
Back home again in Indiana because the Bucks are
back home again in Indiana.
That's the one because the Bucks are playing the Indiana Pacers at Fiserv Forum tonight on ESPN TV and the ESPN app.
Everything you wanted to know about Indiana We'll find out if you know it. Next, caller 4-844-770-3776. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by American Family Insurance and Interiors by JW in Sun Prairie. Subscribe for full show podcasts at WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Good feeling about trivia today.
This is a montage song, if my memory serves me. One of my favorite montages.
I agree.
Hey, do you
think the Jonas Brothers one?
Potentially Jesse's lack of effort on the montage before that NFC Championship game cost the Packers a championship opportunity? Is that possible?
No question.
Because I don't think Jesse didn't come in all revved up. I was actually revved up, and then he poo-poos it, and it's like, this isn't quite I'm not quite as jazzed up as I was let's say, the opener or some of the other. Am I wrong?
Hashtag blame Jesse trending on Twitter?
It wouldn't take much. We went up to a 10 for the montage heading into the NFC Championship last year, but I didn't think we needed a 10 this year. Because I was saving a 10 for the Super Bowl. That didn't happen.
Can't you do
two 10s?
You
know what that reminds me of?
No.
So back in the mid-80s, Auburndale had a great baseball team. And we had to go up and play a doubleheader. Sectionals were always in one day, so you had to kind of figure out, do I want to put my best pitcher out there, or do I want to try to get by and then have my big gun for the sectional finals? Well, Auburndale, one of the best teams we ever had. We sat our big lefty. We went in there with another guy, and we got beat in the first round. That, still in Auburndale lore, sits back and puts a painful taste in some people's mouths. So, Jesse, to, I guess, bring it all back full circle, got to strike while the iron's hot, my friend.
All right, wait a minute. Before we play trivia, because this has piqued my interest then. So, Tausch, let's say Max ends up in a similar baseball situation, and you're the coach. Don't you have to win the game to get to the next game? Like, how would you do it? That was a risky play, and it backfired.
Yeah, it's tough because you don't want to lead out the main horse if you don't have to, but you also don't want to leave that horse in the barn where you're just, you're kind of sitting there, and then that horse is just eating hay, and it's like, all right, we don't need you. We got to put you back on the trailer. We got to get that horse running.
Can the horse pitch like four innings of the first game and then pitch three more in the second game or whatever?
Yeah, well, you'd want to get seven or eight innings. It's tough. It's a tough call. Much like Jesse made the decision to put subpar montage out, saving his best for what he thought would be a Super Bowl montage. And then now what is he going to do with that Super Bowl montage? Are you going to play it Friday Buccaneers?
I'm not going to spend my time making it. I got other things I'm doing around here now.
Like Wilde and Tausch trivia. Time now to play. Let's welcome in our contestants. Jerry in the Prairie du Sac. Which, by the way, I'll put the Sauk City Prairie du Sac region up against your Pecatonica, Argyle, Blanchardville region any day of the week. Jerry, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're great, thank you.
I always get Mazamani and Sauk and Prairie du Sac confused, if I'm being honest. Like, what's the town that river runs through, and there's the Wisconsin golf course, and like some of the bigger corporations are right on that river? Is that Prairie du Sac or is that Sauk City?
That's Prairie du Sac.
Yeah, I love Prairie du Sac. Love it.
There you go. I personally like Cross Plains. All right, time now for Wilde and Tausch trivia, and there is no Prairie du Sac or Sauk City in Indiana, from what I understand. But that's what we're asking questions about. Indiana. So question number one, which of these cities is the capital of Indiana? Is it Bloomington, Gary, or Indianapolis?
Isn't it? I'm going to say it's not Gary. I'm going to say Bloomington. Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Well, Jesse?
That's too easy.
he got caught overthinking it, Jerry.
Why was there no funny answer on this? Like, you're...
Well, Gary is blazing. Gary is supposed to be
Gary's
the funny.
Gary's kind of funny.
Have you ever been to Gary, Tausch?
I just drove through Gary this weekend.
You want to call that the capital of Indiana, Tausch?
I don't know. I didn't look around for buildings to see if it was a capital, so I don't know.
That's the sound of Tausch regretting asking that question.
Yeah, you're right. All right, Jerry, which of these colleges is not located in Indiana? Is it Ball State, Kent State, or Butler?
Oh, boy, I have no clue. Let's go Ball State.
That's in Muncie, Indiana. A little fact check there, Jesse.
Fighting David Letterman. Yeah.
I didn't know where any of those colleges were.
I don't know where Kent State is. Butler is in Indianapolis. Kent State, it's in Ohio, I believe.
Butler is located in the capital city of Indiana, which is Indianapolis.
Said. Thank you for rephrasing it.
Confirm
Where's
that.
Kent State?
Kent State is located in the city named Kent in Ohio.
Okay. All right, Jerry, pressure's on here, man.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I love Nothing. Jerry. Do you know what the Kent State nickname is?
The Dragons.
What their team is.
Yeah, the Dragons. Is that not right?
That is not right.
Jerry, you want to take a crack at it?
No.
Good effort.
Golden Flashes.
Yeah.
What?
I love nicknames. All right.
Golden Flashes.
Jerry, we're getting this one.
Bird-looking
okay?
thing.
We're getting this one. I believe in you. Right. We are not going to get skunked here. Question three. Which of these Packers' 2020 draft picks played college football at Indiana University? Was it Jake Hansen, Kamal Martin, or Simon Stepaniak?
Well, it's not Martin. He played at Minnesota.
Correct.
So I have a 50-50 shot here.
Indeed.
But I don't... Let's go with C.
Yes!
Is there any way we could start doing a phone-a-friend on here where you could phone like one of our other trivia contestants and see if they could get an extra entry?
No.
Okay.
Official rules. That is correct. Jake Hansen played at Oregon. So you do have two entries, Jerry, into our drawing. So well done. Have a great day, buddy. Thank you.
You too. Thanks, guys.
A little side trivia, and this is for Matt Coonan if he's listening, and I know he doesn't call, but he does tweet. Where was the original Saved by the Bell taped? Because it may or may not. I'm not going to give any more info, but since he's almost knocked off Embalming Brother with Saved by the Bell trivia, which I can't wait for round two. I don't know what month we did that in. Where was that taped, MVT? If you can get that to us, that'd be great.
Rest in peace, Screech, as well, who passed away earlier this week. Tausch, you're looking at me in the video camera as if I am wasting your time. But why I'm really looking at you is I want to hear about how great American Family Insurance is.
Well, American Family Insurance, they're on your team and a fan of your dreams. From jumping around to counting Bucky's push-ups, the energy on UW's campus is unlike any other. And since we couldn't come together in 2020 to sing Varsity, American Family Insurance wants to take your game day to the next level in 2021 for a season that you will not forget. Visit AmFam.com/Badgers. That's AmFam.com/Badgers for your chance to win 2021 season tickets. American Family Insurance, we are here to protect your most valued possessions, and that, of course, is your dreams. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
Whoa, Nelly! We'll see what Jesse's effort level is. As we discussed his effort level on montages, we'll judge his effort level on Whoa Nelly next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Anderson chimes in via Twitter. And you know the best way to get your tweets read on the air?
Make fun of Jesse.
Is in some way to either criticize or poke fun at Jesse.
Seems to be a pattern, yeah.
Not just on this show either.
That's true. That's my understanding. This is not actually criticism. David says, you missed an opportunity to ask one of my favorite trivia questions. Now, granted, Jerry in the Prairie, I don't want to besmirch his good reputation, but I'm not sure Jerry would have gotten this question right either. Here is the question. Let's see if either one of you can answer it. Then we'll play Whoa Nelly. Only two athletes have played in an NCAA men's basketball Final Four and a Major League Baseball World Series. And they both attended the same Indiana high school.
Huh.
Who are they?
Okay, so the athlete played in an NBA Finals and major and a World Series.
No. NCAA Final Four and a World Series.
Shoot. I was thinking Super Bowl and World Series.
Nobody listens.
Thought I could do that one.
All right. I was thinking Larry Bird, but I don't think he played in a World Series.
Final Four and a World Series.
All right. So I'm going to give you the first one.
Jimmy Edmonds. Jimmy Edmonds is one of them.
No, he's not.
Okay.
Pi Kappa Phi alum, Jimmy Edmonds.
Well, don't we get multiple choice? Well, I'm not trying to get extra entries here. Give me the multiple choice. This is
which of these athletes did not?
Sure. Sure. Fine. Bo Jackson, Tim Stoddard, Mark Tauscher, Deion Sanders, Julius Peppers, Kenny Lofton, Paul Molitor. How many more do you want?
So it's two of those.
Stoddard and Molitor.
I think Kenny Lofton did it. I feel like I've heard that at some point. Kenny Lofton did something. I don't know if this was it. He's an answer to some trivia question.
I've got the great Tom Oates sending in on the private text line, Dick Grote, which I cannot confirm or deny that information. All I have in front of me, both graduates of East Chicago Washington High School in Indiana.
East Chicago,
Tim Stoddard,
it's called?
Hey, man, I'm just reading.
I'll say this, man. People are so uncreative with their city names and streets. That's unbelievable.
South Milwaukee.
East Chicago. Come on, Indy. Come up with something Indy-based. I mean, get serious. All right, who is it?
Tim Stoddard and Kenny Lofton. Mm. You each got one.
There you go. Teamwork.
Nice work. I ain't going to lie to you. I'd have never gotten any of those. None.
Nor would I.
All I recall, my dad used to always rave about Dave Winfield because he was drafted in all three sports. He's a Minnesota guy, right? Went to the University of Minnesota.
Yep.
He literally could have played any sport professionally. I don't know who else could have done that. Maybe LeBron. I don't know if LeBron could hit a baseball. I don't know. But Dave Winfield was the man back in the day.
Dave Winfield, a native of St. Paul, Minnesota.
Sweet perm, too. Hit a sweet perm back in the old days.
He's 69 years old. Let Jesse put Dave Winfield on the list of guests that we want to get on the show.
I got a question. Have we actually gotten any of these guests that we've put on that list?
I'm challenging Jesse to start getting guests.
Long off season,
Taush. Fantastic.
Long off season.
All right.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly
on Wilde and Taush.
Dave Winfield has his own website, Jesse. It's Dave Winfield, HOF. That's Hall of Fame. .com, and there appears to be a contact button. So I'm here to help you get Dave Winfield.
Well,
on
we
the
want
show.
Jordan Love first. That's we want. Jordan Love's pushing something this week. Let's get Jordan.
So we're never getting Dave Winfield if we're going to wait till we have Jordan Love.
Probably not. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly.
I wanted to make a joke. Here's my Jordan Love impression. Want to hear it again?
No.
Not the worst joke you've made.
Whoa, Nelly!
Paul George of the L.A. Clippers upset last night that he said it was disrespectful that he only got one free throw attempt in the Clippers' loss to the Brooklyn Nets. Is it right for NBA superstars to now be saying in their post-game commentary that it was disrespectful for them to only get a certain allotment of free throws, in this case just one for Paul George?
Now, what happens here, and this is the old Phil Jackson, and coaches have been doing this for years, and now players obviously have more power than ever. You're sending a message to the next referee crew. What are y'all doing? Now, I don't know. Paul George seems to me like he's more of a jump shooter. I don't know if he's a slash guy getting to the rack. But he's basically saying this isn't possible. Y'all better start calling some fouls against me because I'm taking it to the rack and I'm getting mugged and nobody is calling it. This is all a psychological deal.
In which sports do you think the officials, umpires, referees are most easily influenced by coaches or players' mind games, demands, requests, whatever?
Is it
the NBA?
NBA, for sure.
Yeah, I think so, too. Oh, no.
You don't think strike zone could be impacted at all?
No.
Not someone of your
Not
high character.
Robots. We got robots doing that.
Whoa, Nelly!
Stupid robots. Jared Goff has spoken for the first time since being traded by the Rams to the Detroit Lions. Now we got to pay attention to what Goff does because he's one of the NFC North quarterbacks going on now in the division. Says to the LA Times, as the quarterback, as the guy that's at arguably the most important position on the field, if you're in a place that you're not wanted and they want to move on from you, the feeling's mutual. You don't want to be in the wrong place. It became increasingly clear that was the case. Some of the national commentary I've heard on this is that Sean McVay is kind of at fault for this. And everyone wants to just say, well, Goff is the first number one overall bust, and he needs a change of scenery. But no one's really blaming Sean McVay, offensive genius, for not being able to get more out of Jared Goff. Everyone just gives him a pass. Mm-hmm. You think that's fair criticism of Sean McVay, or is this mostly on Goff?
No, it's very fair criticism on the Wunderkind. He is the Wunderkind. Everybody is raving about him. People are getting jobs because of Sean McVay. I think he's a good coach, but anybody can be a good coach when you have a superstar quarterback. Like, it just makes your job a lot easier. McVay did it, and I think why he got so much love is because we saw Goff under Jeff Fisher, and it wasn't pretty. Then McVay comes in, and they have a running game, and he's been pretty successful. Then they lose that running game, and they're not quite as vital, and he has shown that he's got some flaws. McVay never really turned that around. Then he takes the confidence away from him by starting Wofford. Wofford gets concussed, and then they throw Goff back in there. I think there is a time when it's best for both parties to move on, but the question I keep having is McVay knew this. He knew this after the Super Bowl when they couldn't score more than 3 points, and that defense shut down New England, and Tom Brady still got a ring, even though he didn't play well. Then they give him that fat extension. Like, why? They're not doing that without McVay saying, yeah, he's our guy for the next 5 years. Like, that's just not happening. So McVay deserves probably more criticism than Les Snead, and definitely more than Jared Goff. And now Goff gets a new opportunity with a lot less expectation on a team that's going to stink for a few years. And he's got to reboot his career. So it'll be interesting to see if he can do that. But he seems like a stand-up dude. Like, he's handling this. He's not throwing a bunch of arrows at people. He's doing the interview. I think, you know, if he wasn't going to Detroit, I'd be rooting for him because it seems like he's a pretty stand-up cat.
You'd probably still root for him because he's still not very good.
Maybe, I don't know.
Ouch.
Speaking of very good, Dick Groat, who is 90 years old, was a star basketball player at Duke long before Coach K got there, so you can be okay with him. And then played in the majors, was a shortstop, mainly with the Pittsburgh Pirates and St. Louis Cardinals. But apparently he did not play in a Final Four during his time at Duke. But thanks to Oatsy, who covered him in high school, for chiming in with that. What's next?
Whoa, Nelly!
Jeff Bezos will be stepping down from Amazon at the start of the third fiscal quarter, which is at the beginning of July. Amazon is currently worth $1.7 trillion. Jeff Bezos is 57 years old. If you had $1.7 trillion, how much longer would you work? What age would you say, you know what, I've had enough, I'm gonna call it quits now? Because he went 57.
The great thing for him is he is still going to get paid obscenely, and he still can do whatever he wants. So he's going to keep working. This idea that, oh, you made this money, I'm going to go buy an island and live by myself. Like, what fun is that? Like, I think people want to continue to do stuff, and now you have control to do whatever you want. So Bezos is going to keep working. He's going to, you know, I think he's got his new girlfriend. Like, he's got a pretty good little gig set up. He's got a monopoly. And he's taken over the world one industry at a time, and it doesn't seem like anybody cares. It's like, oh, shucks, oh, Amazon just, they're wiping out all our mom-and-pop shops, and nobody cares. So I hope people start pushing back a little bit. I don't know if that'll happen, but if you're Jeff Bezos, just keep the machine running. Why would you stop?
I don't understand how this works. Like, is he retiring or what? Like,
he's taking a Tom Oates type approach. He's getting the emeritus role, still probably getting a nice little something, and can do whatever he wants. Like, if Tommy Oates wants to go write a piece on the Packers, and he will. If he doesn't want to go cover Lodi tonight, he doesn't have to. Bezos is turning it over to a young upstart that's going to keep the business growing because they, like I said, they've taken over the world. And he now can go take some more innovative approaches and maybe start another new thing. That's what's happening.
I'm confused because I would have a hard time. First of all, I'm not entrepreneurial. But if I built something, I would have a hard time turning it over to somebody else.
Like, I'm if the guy you handpick that person and you still have his ear or his or her ear and can do that.
So that's my question. He'll still influence this guy that his handpicked successor. He's not just saying, I wash my hands of it, Tausch, you're in charge.
He has controlling interest. I'm sure it's his baby. He can do whatever he wants.
It's a big baby now, am I right?
Andy Jassy is taking Jazz over Dog. As the new chief executive of Amazon's, or he is currently the chief executive of Amazon's cloud computing.
Bro, they are.
Division.
I'm telling you right now, the fact that people aren't like alarm bells aren't going off is freaky to me. But it just doesn't seem like people care.
Order your Wildy and Tausch mugs available on Amazon.
It's a good idea. I should put. I'm more of an eBay guy myself. That's it for Whoa Nelly. We'll wrap things up. I thought we were going to get one of Jesse's other favorite voices there, but apparently not. Maybe he will make a surprise appearance before the end of the show to discuss Jeff Bezos' departure from Amazon. We'll see if that special guest comes through next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Wildy and Tausch from the Park Bank ESPN Madison Studios on 100.5 ESPN.
Born and raised under the
joining us now.
Felt the way.
Straight from class where he is attending postgraduate studies at Clown School. It is Dunzo the Clown. Dunzo, where you been?
I was just waiting for the perfect opportunity, but wow, this blizzard's kept me Dunzo on the roads. Wow, the Packers. Oh, Dunzo, they're out. Bye-bye.
Yeah, what happened? I thought we would hear from you when the season ended. What were you doing?
I was stuck in the blizzard. What did I tell ya? Aaron Rodgers didn't even get the ball back. Matt LaFleur, what are you doing? Kicking the field goal. Dunzo! Oh, no. Jeff Bezos Dunzo. Working on a little retirement plan. He's Dunzo, too.
Dunzo, have you been going to Interstate Blood and Plasma? Or are you Dunzo with giving up your plasma?
No, we're not Dunzo there. Still lots of antibodies to give at Interstate Blood and Plasma. Going tomorrow.
Oh, my God. You guys are
great
so immature. You two are so immature.
Great to have Dunzo back. That'll do it for us today. We are Dunzo with today's show. Have a great day. Take care. Be good. Stay safe.
This show's Dunzo!
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch? Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.